And now, Robert Trout with the news, direct from the NBC newsroom in New York, presented by Pillsbury. Get yourself several packages of Pillsbury pie crust mix and put the aroma of hot mince pie, the tender taste of homemade pumpkin pie, the smack and good tang of juicy cranberry pie into the holidays at your house. It's easy, it's quick, and your pie is sure to be perfect when you use America's largest selling pie crust mix, Pillsbury pie crust mix. The crust is sure to be light and tender, the flaky kind that cuts at the touch of a fork. Get Pillsbury pie crust mix soon. Thrill them at your house with your own homemade holiday pies. And now, Bob Trout with the latest news.
3 days before winter officially arrives, a real winter snowstorm has hit the northeastern states. It's been snowing since dawn here in New York. More than 7 inches have fallen by now, and the weatherman says the snow will keep on coming down far into the night. 16 inches predicted. Overseas in Paris, the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations is spending Sunday trying to round up the delegates to the Security Council in time for an emergency meeting tomorrow morning. The United States and Australia asked for the special meeting to discuss the Dutch East Indies, but the UN officials are not sure they can get everybody together in time. The Dutch are in full control of Yogyakarta, the city on the island of Java that served as the capital of the Republican Indonesian forces. Today, Dutch troops parachuted into Yogyakarta and quickly arrested the Indonesian leaders, including President Sukarno, who has held that title of president ever since the Japanese conquerors gave it to him for collaborating during the war. Winter weather in Germany is not stopping the Berlin airlift. Today, all fields in western Germany are in operation. The French are evacuating the German village of Stolpa, given to them by the Russians for the purpose of building another airfield for Berlin only a mile away. But the French have built their Berlin airfield in another neighborhood, and now that they've destroyed the Stolpa radio towers that got in the way of the airlift planes, the French are moving out, and the anti-communist German officials of Stolpa are fleeing to Berlin, taking with them everything they can carry, from police station furniture to the village fire engine. One American correspondent says it's a fantastic miniature preview of what might happen on a greater scale if the Western Allies lose Berlin. The news from the Chinese government is as black as ever, with communist troops now within 65 miles of China's capital, Nanking, in central China, and the communists tightening their grip on surrounded Beiping in the north. A small item from a town north of Nanking tells the story. A group of Chinese were reading a newspaper posted on a wall telling of great government victories north of the town, when suddenly a convoy of government trucks appeared carrying government troops southward in retreat. General MacArthur has ordered the Japanese to modernize their old-fashioned economic system and get Japan on a stable footing. Economic stabilization is badly needed in Japan, but the chances of getting it don't look too good. Two Japanese inventors today revealed a machine that counts your money by electricity when you put a stack of 100-yen notes into the machine. The usual method is just to measure the stack of notes with a ruler. Here at home in Washington, Senator Arthur Vandenberg, the Republican from Michigan, has promised President Truman that when the Republicans become the minority party in Congress next month, he'll go on working on foreign policy. And now on this snowy day, some football results. The two professional championship games. In the National League, the Philadelphia Eagles defeated the Chicago Cardinals 7-0. In the All-America Conference, the Cleveland Browns swapped the Buffalo Bills 49-7. And now for Pillsbury, here's Arthur Gary.
Thank you, Bob Trout. When the family gathers for the holidays, show off with your own wonderful homemade pie. Use Pillsbury pie crust mix. It's quick. You can fix your pie while the oven heats. It's easy. You just add water. Yes, Pillsbury pie crust mix is quick and easy to use. It's the wise modern way to be sure your pie crust is rich with delicious flavor. Light, tender, and flaky. The kind every man loves. And remember, there are 9 full ounces, ample for a big 2-crust pie, in every package of Pillsbury pie crust mix. Get several packages tomorrow and serve your own delicious pies through the holiday season. Listen again next Sunday at this time for Robert Trout with the news. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
WMAQ and WMAQ-FM, NBC in Chicago. Mortimer gets kissed under the mistletoe and Charlie threatens to go on strike, and Mario Lanza joins the entire gang when the Charlie McCarthy Show goes on the air at 7 o'clock tonight. At 8, stay tuned for fine music on Manhattan Merry-Go-Round, and 8:30, Album of Familiar Music.
Nearing the close of Living 1948, let us compare this Christmas Eve with another. It is written in the Holy Bible,
"And Joseph went up from Galilee unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed, with Mary his espoused wife being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn."
Today, almost 2,000 years after those crowded days in Bethlehem, countless mothers and fathers are being turned away from living quarters, not because there is no room for them, but rather because
dogs and children not wanted.
Comments typical of these parents:
"They've made us feel it's a sin to have children.
What do they want us to do? Drown our kids?"
It is fitting on this, the 1948th anniversary of the birth in a manger, that we report to you on this modern contradiction in human value.
Living 1948, brought to you each week at this time by NBC and its affiliated stations, holds up its radio mirror to show you a reflection of ourselves that is not pleasant to see. A reflection that is a preview of an article by Howard Whitman, which will appear in the January issue of the Woman's Home Companion, soon to be on your newsstands. The article deals with discrimination against the chief hope of our future, America's children, our new oppressed minority. As the article is called, so our drama document is named:
Dogs and Children Not Wanted.
Again, with no considerable relish for what he has to disclose today, is your narrator, Ben Grauer.
Greetings, America. Things indeed have come to a sorry pass when a writer assigned by the Woman's Home Companion to survey the fate of families with children in the midst of our continuing housing shortage must report,
"I never realized how unpopular children are, how unwanted, how discriminated against, even how hated, until I went across America in search of apartments for rent."
The father of two small children himself, writer Howard Whitman, declares,
"My mind is still echoing with
no children. Adults only.
No dogs or children.
I can still hear the slammed doors, the dishonest excuses.
Sorry, but there's really no room to keep a baby carriage.
And worst of all, the hypocritical line,
I can't rent you the place. But don't get me wrong, I love children."
Fortunately, not all Americans with places for rent are so callously denying a roof over the heads of our youngest generation. Indeed, some property owners have gone out of their way to rent only to families with children. But so common is this foul practice against the very seed of our nation, against the very ones who will inherit America from us and defend it for us and guide it through the challenging years that lie ahead. So common, we say, is this prevailing discrimination that today
our children are fast becoming a new prejudice-ridden minority.
By way of evidence, let us first consider this statement by Dr. Brinjay Hogde, chairman of the National Public Housing Conference.
25% of all rented housing space in the United States, especially in larger cities, is underoccupied due to discrimination against children.
Raymond M. Foley, National Housing Administrator, has left no doubt as to where he stands on the matter. In a special statement issued to Living 1948, he declares,
"Slamming the door on family housing needs may lessen some landlords' concern for their property, but it increases the nation's concern for its future. Requiring the tenant to share responsibility for the care of property is justified, but that is one thing. Requiring him to be childless is something else entirely. Housing is for people, and children are people, the most important people for the future of our democracy."
Even the President of the United States has inveighed against this practice.
"I remember one case in particular where a young man and his wife and their baby and the dog couldn't find a place in the great city of Washington who would let a baby and a dog come and live. Now, how are you going to raise a family under that condition? Children and dogs are as necessary to the welfare of this country as is Wall Street and the railroads or any other thing.
It is fitting, then, as we approach the anniversary of him who had to be born in a manger because of a housing shortage in Bethlehem 20 centuries ago, that we pause now and examine...
the shape and extent of the housing prejudice against children today, its effect upon the morale of the parents and the state of the union.
Why this prejudice?
What has been done about it?
What else can we, all of us, do?
Let us begin by fixing the boundaries of the discrimination itself. And the best way to do that is through the eyes of Howard Whitman, who experienced it at first hand.
Acting the role of house hunter in cities throughout the nation, I have felt the stab of child discrimination 100 times. And although I was acting, the stab, because of my own 2 children, was always poignant. I remember Detroit.
No, I haven't rented my apartment yet.
Gee, swell, I've been walking and calling all day. Look, I'm desperately in need of a place. I want to bring my wife and kids to join me in Detroit.
Did you say children?
Yes, I have a girl 6 and a boy 1 year old. Well, I can assure
you... I'm sorry, no children.
But please... Hello? Hello? That was Detroit. Chicago was something else again.
I'll tell you what I'll do.
Yes, sir?
You need a place to live in, and I don't want children in my apartment.
Oh, but believe me, I'll assume full responsibility for...
Now, listen. I'll let you have the place on one condition.
Yes?
All you have to do is board out your kids.
Hopefully, I went on to Madison, Wisconsin, praised as...
the best place to live in the USA.
I found a 6-room apartment vacant in the best place to live in the USA. I asked for it.
For you yourself?
Me and my family.
Any kids?
I have 2 well-behaved children.
Sorry, we don't take kids.
That, remember, was a 6-room apartment. Ideal for a family with kids.
Howard Whitman discovered other persons from whose experience he could draw as well as his own.
This tale was told to me by a law student I met. His was really an incredible case. Listen.
Did you say congratulations?
Sure. You ought to be passing out cigars with a 10-pound baby to brag about.
You think so, huh? Look, my wife and baby were supposed to be out of the hospital 10 days ago, but because I've got no place to take her, the doctors are letting her stay. She's still there, using up valuable hospital space while I go around begging for a place to take her. What do people expect us to do anyway? Tie a stone around the baby's neck and drop her in the Hudson?
Perhaps the worst case I came across, however, was back again in Chicago. This woman had just buried the body of her husband, a private killed in action on Lady Island. She had 2 children.
Grace, 8, and Donald, 10. At the very time my husband's body was being returned for reburial, we were being evicted from our apartment because, as the landlord told me...
We're remodeling this here building into smaller units. There won't be any room for children.
I refuse to move. I absolutely refuse.
I'm afraid you'll have to, ma'am. We're turning off the heat, gas, and electricity.
You say no children. Do you realize that these are the children of a man who gave his life for you?
I'm sorry, lady. No children is my rule, and if I break it for you, I'll have to break it for everybody. You'll just have to find somewhere else.
I could go on and on citing examples. A young man whose wife was pregnant told me this story.
We live in a furnished room. Just the other day, my landlady said...
Just remember, young man, the door gets locked when your wife goes to the hospital.
She won't let us bring the baby home.
That's not an unusual case. Many landlords have tried to evict couples who have dared to have babies after renting a place and moving into it. They call it...
misrepresentation. False pretenses.
They actually believe that if a couple is childless when they rent from them, they should stay childless. I learned about one landlord who actually insists...
I'll have to see your wife before I let you have this place.
But why? What's that got to do...
Never mind. I want to see your wife.
Can you guess why? He wants to see if the man's wife is visibly pregnant. Just look through the classified ads if you don't believe it's as tough as I say. I spent hours over them reading...
No children.
No pets or children.
Some of them were real coy.
Business couple preferred.
Suitable for adults.
Out of 43 ads in a Cincinnati paper...
22.
More than half.
openly barred children. In Pittsburgh, out of 26 ads...
17
excluded children. Stop in, as I did, and talk to the New York Housing Authority's Vacancy Listing Bureau. They'll admit...
88% of our listings contain a ban against children.
The Pittsburgh Housing Association tells me...
We have a celebration here when we find a landlord who will take children.
Writer Howard Whitman could not help noting the effect of this prejudice on parents all over the country.
I don't know. We were awfully anxious to have a baby, Tom and I, but we've been turned down so much now because of the baby that... I know it's an awful thing to say, but we kind of feel guilty because we're parents and hate to admit it.
Why this prejudice, America? Why this damnable discrimination against our future doctors, statesmen, home builders, teachers, and who knows, corny as it may sound, perhaps even against a future president of the United States? The first answers Mr. Whitman discovered were the obvious ones.
Kids are hell in houses.
They mark up the wallpaper.
Run up and down the stairs all the time and break the banisters.
Insisted a Chicago landlady.
I've seen kids saw the limbs off trees, shoot bullets through windows, and drill holes in the back porch.
In Pittsburgh, an apartment owner swore...
In a year and a half, children have set 3 houses on fire in the neighborhood and rifled the mailboxes.
For these, Howard Whitman has a ready answer.
One child rifles a mailbox, so they all do. Some children mark on the paper, so they all do. A few children kick the spindles out of banisters, so they all do. Listen, when a group is to be slandered, you take the worst characteristics of any individual and you smear the entire group with it. That's as old as prejudice itself.
What are the actual facts, friends? Certainly, we're all entitled to know them.
Oh, I can help you there.
Oh, and you, sir?
I conducted a government survey in 1946 on this very question of damage for the Federal Public Housing Authority.
Yes.
We surveyed 173,000 housing units.
And discovered?
Only 2 types of damage could be attributed to children.
Namely?
The marring of doorways and baseboards by bicycles, scooters and carriages, and the defacing of walls by scribbling and smearing, but...
Yes?
We found that adults, on the other hand, were responsible for 8 major categories of damage, such as ruining windowsills with hot dishes, breaking oven doors, stopping up drains with garbage, etc.
Well, your conclusion then was...
Grown-ups are the apartment wreckers, not children.
I believe that if you strip the whole foul business of its masquerade, you'll find this greedy little axiom underneath.
Get the most money for the least occupancy.
Everybody knows.
The more human beings there are in an apartment, the more wear and tear there'll be.
That's why I found 6-room apartments in every city I visited being denied to families, but offered cheerfully to working couples who could rattle around in them. That's why renting agents told me...
Well, my boss threatened to fire me if I rent to children.
That's the reason for...
Listen, bub, what do you think I'm running? A menagerie?
So far, we've learned, friends, how serious this problem is and what it's doing to people. Now, what are the people doing about it?
I'll tell you. First, they're running ads in the papers. Some of the ads are downright pathetic.
No room in a home. No room in the inn. You once were a child. Was that a sin?
Here's another. We have a 5-year-old daughter. Please don't hold that against us. And the wanted-to-rent columns are studded with literally thousands of these.
Expectant wife.
Young couple expecting.
Couple and expected child.
They tell me...
We have to advertise that way or we'd run our legs off and get turned down anyway.
The price of this honesty, said one young mother...
Is sorry, no children. I guess the prejudice against my baby's starting even before he's born.
What else are they doing to get a home? They're lying. For example, when told...
Yes, we permit dogs, but we don't permit children.
One infuriated housewife controlled herself and replied...
Well, I have 2 charming young puppies.
Fine. You may have the apartment.
So, what happened? They moved in 2 children and defied the owner to evict them. Smuggling also is common. People move after dark.
Hey, you.
Yeah?
You said you didn't have any children.
You don't see any, do you?
No, but you don't ride around on a tricycle, do you? And your wife doesn't sleep in a bassinet. Listen, I'm not blind. I can see him unloading that stuff. I'm going to lock you out.
Oh, yeah?
City authorities in New York, however, insisted that that particular family be admitted. since they had paid their rent and it was too late to ban their children after that. Others, faced with eviction after a child was born to them, have taken the matter to court. In Des Moines, a judge ruled in such a case.
The court holds that the baby's birth was an act of God and not a breach of the landlord's restrictions.
Hundreds upon hundreds of home hunters are daily bringing their case before the highest authority in the land.
Dear Mr. President, I am writing to you out of sheer desperation. We are facing eviction for the third time. Not because we can't pay our rent, but because I have committed a terrible crime. I'm the mother of four boys.
Dear Mr. President, is there no place in these United States where clean, honest, and patriotic citizens can find a place to live? Why do landlords despise children? They fight your wars. Why not give them a break?
And many have been forced to resort to pure, outright bribery. I tested that myself in Pittsburgh.
Sorry, buddy. I owe it to the other folks to keep children out.
Suppose I give you $100 extra, a bonus on account of my two children, $50 apiece.
Well, there's that electrician downstairs who works nights. He won't like it. We got an invalid lady in the building.
All right, I'll make it $100 apiece, $200 for the children.
Well, now I'll tell you. I like to deal with a reasonable guy like you. Really, I'm just crazy about kids. I got three of them myself. Come on, let me show you the nice place you'll be getting.
Now, I ask you, like I asked myself, just how much good do you suppose that does the country?
This, then, is what the people directly concerned are doing about the problem. Pathetically advertising, hiding their parenthood, going to court, desperately writing the president, forced into bribing. What about the rest of the nation? What are we doing? What can we do about this?
Classified ad, Miss Dingle.
I'd like to dictate a classified ad, please.
Go ahead, sir.
For rent, pleasant four-room apartment near park and stores. Adults only.
Sorry, we don't take ads which discriminate against children.
But look here...
Sorry.
Yes, happily reports author Howard Whitman for the Woman's Home Companion. Some newspapers throughout the country, such as the New York Times, are now beginning to turn the tables on the sorry, no children advertisers with sorry, no ads. Presented with the facts revealed in this program, the classified advertising manager of the New York Herald Tribune promptly decided...
The newspaper has a responsibility to serve its community, and this is one way of doing it. Henceforth, the Herald Tribune will accept no classified ads barring children.
The Daily Dispatch in Moline, Illinois, recently went a step further. One day, his classified advertising manager figuratively threw down his typewriter in disgust, unable to stomach the no children ads any longer, when a rain-drenched young couple with their two children came into his office and told him...
We had to sleep in our car last night. Have you ever tried to live with two children in a parked car?
If you'd only do something. Anything to help us.
I'll do something. You bet your life I'll do something.
And he did. Next day, he composed and ran an ad of his own.
Attention, landlords. This paper offers to print absolutely free of charge all for rent ads that will permit children in apartment houses, rooms, etc. We hope that other newspapers throughout the nation will champion the right of humanity, especially that of defenseless humanity. Our children.
The newspapers, then, are beginning to act. Perhaps your local newspaper has a job to do. Help, too, has come from some real estate boards. The vice president of the Real Estate Board of New York calls child discrimination...
a blot on the community.
Since small property owners seem to be the greatest offenders, perhaps our real estate board can educate them by setting the pace. The clergy, too, has made its influence felt.
In New York City, we of the church... formed an emergency housing committee of three leading clergymen, a rabbi, a minister, and a priest. Recently, when a young couple was being evicted because the wife was expecting a child, we called all of us with a delegation of neighbors and helped the landlord see the light. He finally agreed.
Okay, I let them stay.
What America is to stop all of us in our own communities from setting up similar interfaith teams to combat child discrimination? I'll answer that myself. Nothing, nothing except our own complacency. The government has also been moved to act. Last summer, Congress wrote into the Housing Act the following clause.
No mortgage shall be insured by the FHA unless the mortgagor certifies under oath
he will not discriminate against any family by reason of the fact that there are children in the family.
The New York State legislature has declared...
It is a penal offense for a landlord to demand by lease that tenants shall remain childless or shall not bear children.
Illinois has a similar law. Meanwhile, what protection does the Federal Rent Act give to parents faced with this prejudice? Ty Woods, national housing expediter, was asked that question point blank. His reply...
Unfortunately, there is nothing in the federal rent law specifically covering the point. I am strongly opposed to discrimination against tenants with children, and I urge every community in the nation to take specific action to stop this cruel and dangerous practice.
If that isn't an invitation for all of us to go to work for such a law in our own area, what is? Still, the fact remains, America, that with all these positive things we've described helping, the problem is still as acute today as it ever was. Question, where does that leave us? Well, let's ask Howard Whitman, who personally gathered the facts we've dramatized for you today, who experienced all this unwholesome business at first hand, who talked to tenants, prospective tenants, and landlords from coast to coast. He's with us now in person. What do you think, Mr. Whitman?
You can't legislate decency. The all-out attack on child discrimination must be made on the broad battlefield of public opinion. You who are listening and your friends and neighbors can do more to win the fight by plain homespun American indignation than by all the fine print in legaldom. Let's have Women's Club resolutions.
Be quiet, please. You read the resolution, Helen, so we can all vote on it. Resolve that the Women's Association should go on record against discrimination against families with children and bring before our...
Let's have a mayor's proclamation posted in every public place. Let's have editorials in the papers.
The American DPs. Here in our own country are thousands upon thousands of dispossessed who are being denied their rights to a home.
Let's have lots of talk over the cracker barrel and the backyard fence.
I told her she ought to take people with children, and if she doesn't, you can be sure I'll never...
As one housing expert put it...
You don't have to drop a ton of bricks on the landlord who discriminates against children. All you've got to do is make him feel like a heel.
While all this will obviously not provide a total solution to our housing deficiency, at least it is one place where we can all actually do something. Finally... To all who hear the inevitable...
I'm so sorry you have children.
Might I recommend that you reply as I did, when I stopped being a writer and answered as a father. I'm not sorry, I said. I'm mighty glad I have children. I'm sorry for you.
No more fitting close during this Christmas season, is there, for our drama document of today, than these words... From Matthew.
And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said,
Whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Living, 1948, is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC public affairs staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold. Scripts for this series are written by Lou Hazem. Music is conducted by Milton Kadams. And your narrator was Ben Grauer. This program was directed by Harry W. Junkin. Today's drama document was based on an article by Howard Whitman in the January issue of the Woman's Home Companion. Mr. Whitman was a guest on our program today. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1948 by joining us again next week when we'll present a special Christmas program entitled...
The Little Girl Who Had Everything.
This program came to you from our Radio City studios in New York. Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.